If you have questions, you should hold up your note card and they will be collected so that we can deal with those questions after the speakers. Emily Bell is next, director of the Tau Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia University, which provides journalists with the skills and knowledge to lead the future of digital journalism and serves as a research and development hub for the profession. Prior to her job at Columbia, Emily Bell was director of digital content for Britain's Guardian News and Media from 2006 to 2010. Emily Bell.
Thank you, Amy, and thanks everyone for coming out and being so engaged in this subject. As Amy said, my interest in this is twofold. Partly it's my old job. I was a career journalist for 20-odd years, 10 years in print, 10 years online. The first five or six of those was being editor-in-chief of The Guardian's websites, the last three or four overseeing everything they did digitally. And one of the things we thought three or four years ago was that the way that data was released was going to really be sort of, it was going to be a core job of journalistic organisations to understand how to parse and handle that kind of data securely. So it was of some pride and relief to me that when the WikiLeaks cables landed, that one of the reasons I think The Guardian was able to do that was because, and it's not me, I'd like to take all credit for this, but obviously it's not me because I don't have a CS background, but the forward-thinking nature of where is journalism going and what is going to be important in order to hold power to account was something that actually had allowed The Guardian to develop the right capabilities. And my second sort of interest in this is as a very new journalism professor. I'm new to America, I'm new to academia, and I'm obviously kind of in month two of my stint to have something like WikiLeaks fall on your head is a gift because it's course material for the next 10, 15 years. And in fact, Columbia this fall, we have got a WikiLeaks seminar that we'll be teaching our students because we think that it's a prism through which you can view many, many ways in which journalism's actually been changing for quite a long time. It's just that you always need events to focus our attention on how the structure of information and the tensions in journalism have actually changed, and my goodness, what an event to do that. So I'll keep it brief because I'm a woman, so I will be able to stick to time and just say what the... So I just cheap shot. And actually, kind of from my point of view, which is how do we equip the next generation of journalists is actually an important one. Because I do completely buy into what all the previous speakers have said, which is that it is a distributed and networked world in which the role of the professional journalist has radically changed and to a large extent been either replicated or completely replaced by the activities both of algorithms and people and technology. I don't think, however, that this negates the need for professional journalism. I do think it means that professional journalists have to really think very hard about the core purpose of what they do. And the core purpose of what they do is, at the end of the day, to hold power to account and add clarity to democracy. And I think that one of the things that WikiLeaks did was catch a number of organisations with their trousers or pants, as you guys would say, at half-mast in that area, which is, it was very interesting to me to ask large groups of students the instant reaction to what would you do if this fell onto your desk. And it's interesting to see how young people struggle immediately with the, well, hang on a second, if I'm a professional journalist at a big newspaper, might I give it back? You know, it's stolen. This is what the Pentagon said. And I think that what this episode has done is teach our next generation of journalists that actually, no, what you do is you go ahead and you publish, and you publish responsibly. But in terms of how we need to think about it and think about the skills that we give people and what we know has changed, we need to be much more technologically literate as a profession because actually in terms of the free press of the 21st century. We don't own the free press, and there isn't one. And as much as there is one, it's owned by Facebook and Google and Twitter and platforms, and it's debated and carved up by a number of interests in terms of FCC regulation and Washington. And even in most major news organisations, there's a very poor understanding of exactly what the technological issues are and how they can be addressed and how that can be networked into a proper reporting structure. Even the legal issues are becoming manifold and very complex and difficult for any single organisation to understand, because as Mika said earlier, it's a pan-national issue. Actually, sorry, I think that was great. But it means that we have to, I think, shift how professional journalism is done to understanding how to tap those networks of activity, how to, if you like, enable the connection of expertise and clarification, and how to ensure that you're able to maintain a free press on a platform that you not only don't own, but that you don't necessarily, as organisations or individuals, understand. And that means there has to be a very, very steep collective learning curve, I think, for anyone who wants to consider themselves a member of the professional press. And I'll just sort of stop here, because it would be much more interesting to hear what you guys have to say about it. I think also we had a very, very sort of interesting couple of talks up at Columbia, one of which was with the editor of the New York Times and the editor of The Guardian. And the thing that suddenly struck me halfway through this was you had these two significantly resourced news organisations, and that actually the thing that was really striking was not only were they not really technologically prepared, and they were probably technologically better prepared than almost any other news organisation in the world would have been, they also weren't really journalistically prepared. The amount of information that needs looking at reporting, which is important information, was overwhelming. And the very fact that at the end of December, if you like, the sort of the curtain came down for those organisations, almost with kind of like physical exhaustion, saying it's now somebody else's time to have a look at it. And there is so much more to be reported. And I think there's a very interesting thing here which should happen in terms of the public sphere. I think universities have a role in this. I think experts everywhere have a role in this, in archiving, examining, reporting on, and even being able to demonstrate how these stories have had an impact and what the impacts have been. Because I think that that's something which you can actually report on that story for years and years to come, which, as I say, is a very good thing for those of us who are professionally employed to do such a thing. But I think we haven't really begun to actually see how those changes play out in the profession yet, because I still think the profession is in a state of shock. But I think that it's highlighted some incredibly important issues, which if we don't address from the point of view of needing a free press, are things where we will lose an awful lot of kind of ability and freedom quite quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.